accomplished. And this morning we want to claim this victory. The word that was just shared gave me a new awareness of how ugly my flesh is. We should really be aware and conscious of how ugly our flesh is. This spoke to me just now. And this flesh is triggered by many things that are in this world. That's why we had in point B, the world. Not just the world, but in parentheses we wrote, the present evil age. This present evil age. If we read in Galatians 1, verse 4, to give us an impression of how evil this age is. Galatians 1, verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that we might deliver, he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. Who gave himself for our sins. Why? That he might deliver us from this present evil age. Are we so aware of the fact that this age is so evil? I probably wouldn't have written the present evil age. I would have maybe written just this present age without adding the adjective of it being evil. But Paul calls this present age evil. And we have been set into this present evil age. Sometimes I ask myself, why didn't the Lord just put us in a wonderful environment, like in paradise at the Garden of Eden? Why didn't he put us in such an environment? Why did he put us in such a present evil age where my flesh is always triggered? I ask myself this often. And this battlefield that we are standing on today is really the earth, the present evil age. And the last few months, or even almost years, I must confess, why Paul talks about an evil age. If I look at the world today, the world really is evil. The world is fallen. And this fallen, sinful being is more and more manifest and apparent today. What used to be done behind closed doors is now done publicly. Sin is really hung out, is exhibited for all to see proudly. This shows that what an evil, perverted age we live in. But it shouldn't surprise us, because Satan, he is working. Satan was really working, is really working in this world, and we need to be conscious of this. But it's not just that from overnight this happened. Yeah, already back then when Paul wrote Galatians, he called it the present evil age. That means Paul already was able to see how sin and how Satan used sin and flesh to bring man to fall. It's no surprise, because Satan here, he wants to set up his kingdom on earth. That's why this whole war is about the earth and especially about man. That man is the object that is being fought over in this war. And the being of the world hasn't changed necessarily, because Paul was already talking about a present evil age. And also John said that the whole world lies in the hand of the wicked one. The whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one. And people were maybe trying to improve the world a little bit, but were they successful? I think when we look at this world today, we have to say they were not successful. It didn't help much. Why? Because a fallen man cannot make a fallen world any better. That's not possible. It's only possible through Christ. When the prince and ruler of this world is working, then we cannot improve it. You can talk about how you can work to make the earth or world a better place, but the flesh is and remains corrupt. And the problem is that our flesh that our self and our flesh is attracted to the things in the world. I wanted to show that Satan knows that when our self is gone, if it doesn't exist, then there's also no world to entice us anymore. Nothing can entice our self if it doesn't exist anymore. That's why recently I read one verse quite often and prayed that became my experience in many aspects of my life. We can read it together. We read it last night. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. This was Paul's experience, how he experienced the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him as crucified. Him crucified. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What do we want to know about today? Do we have such a desire to know Christ as the crucified one? Amen. This really helped me recently when I asked myself, how can I overcome? The Lord told me through this word, I should know him as the crucified one. Especially when we talk about overcoming the world, overcoming the world in this present evil age. So another verse that shows how we can experience the cross of our Lord in Galatians 6:14. We can read it together. Galatians 6:14. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. That I forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ completed a complete, perfect work on the cross. The world has been crucified to me and I to the world. In the world, there's so many things to boast about. The world likes to boast. But Paul says, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That it's interesting how he says not only through which the world has been crucified to me, but then he also says, he continues, and I to the world. So it's in both directions. It's bidirectional. The cross of Christ works in both directions. Not only am I crucified to the world, but also from my side, there's nothing more that I have in the world. And on the other hand, the world has nothing in me. In the last weeks, I said this again and again. I do not belong to the world. We have to say this in faith. And I think that's what it means to overcome. To proclaim again and again in faith that I do not belong to the world anymore. That's what the Lord said in John 17. In John 17, the world hated you because you are not from the world. And then he repeats again and again, you are not of the world. He shows that the evil world, the evil age, is the area, the realm of ruling of the enemy. But we are not from the world. We are in the world. This is true. But the Lord didn't just take us out of the world, but he consciously set us into this world, even though we do not belong to the world anymore, but we are redeemed for God and we are God's children. And that was my experience again and again in the recent weeks, that we are crucified to the world. Because you are not of the world even hates us. Because we don't join into the boasting, we don't join into the conversation. Sometimes at work, my colleagues don't understand why I give my time to be in Neuchâtel, to visit the saints and not just to have a nice vacation, or why I would spend a week of my vacation on a conference. They don't understand it. But, praise the Lord, we are not from the world. And I always asked myself, does the world love me? Am I so important to the world that the world cannot go on without me? Am I important to the world? Do the people love me? What is my experience of the cross of Christ? I don't have a lot of time, but there are many experiences of how we can experience the cross of Christ. I wanted to end with one verse out of 1 John 2, 15 and 17. This is a very important point. Here it's about the love to the world. Our heart is so decisive. On the battlefield, the enemy wants to capture our hearts. He wants to capture our hearts completely for him. The enemy is very deceitful, very sly, and he uses exactly the things that trigger our flesh to bring us away from the Lord, to draw our hearts away from the Lord. And it doesn't happen overnight with the snap of your fingers, but it happens slowly. It's a matter of time. Over time, the enemy can bring us away from the Lord. So to close this part of the meeting, let's read 1 John 2, verses 15 to 17, because there are many important aspects that are mentioned here regarding the world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And this is a problem if the love of the Father is not in us. The love should be exclusive, right? Between a husband and a wife, between God and man. God wants us to love him with our whole heart. That's why John says here, do not love the world. And there are several points here that he mentions. There's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vain pride of life. And I ask myself, why does he mention these three things explicitly? It's very interesting. In another translation, it even says, regarding the lust of the flesh, it says the desire for bodily enjoyment. You have to ask yourself, yeah, bodily enjoyment. One question is lust? I ask myself, is enjoyment evil in and of itself? You cannot say that enjoyment in and of itself is evil. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't say in another place that we should enjoy many things. Or you could ask yourself, did Paul not read 1 John? That's not possible. That's not the point. Is that when enjoyment, when our flesh hangs and is triggered by the enjoyment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a trigger. If it triggers our flesh. Due to time, I will try to speed up a little bit. But there's also the lust of the eyes. Desirous looks is also something that can trigger our flesh. Recently, I had an experience. That's why I thought this verse regarding the cross of the Lord so important. I wanted to buy some sort of technical equipment. I wanted to buy a coffee machine. And I already had a coffee machine, but then my eyes saw a different coffee machine. We were visiting saints. They had a better coffee machine than our first coffee machine. And then the lust of the eyes came in, the lust of man. And then I realized something was triggered in me. Seeing the better coffee machine triggered my flesh. It's not bad. We can have nice coffee machines, but the problem is, does it trigger my heart? Does it trigger my flesh? Does it trigger me to covet, to desire, to lust? And in this point, the Lord spoke to me and said, now crucify yourself in this matter. And one last point, the vain pride of life. There are different things that belong. To be perseverant. Ambition, or wanting to be seen, honor, is it? To be esteemed. To be recognized. Is it bad to be recognized? Paul said we should recognize those who serve day and night for us. But the question is, if I'm recognized, if I'm acknowledged, if I'm esteemed, does this trigger my flesh, my fallen flesh? And another point that spoke to me with regard to this. Today, people present themselves a lot in the internet. There are platforms on the internet. One platform is called LinkedIn. I was active here often or looked at what other colleagues presented about themselves, and I thought, oh, wow, here the enemy can also work. What can he work through here? Here it always talks about to
<laughs>
it talks about to do one's own thing, to realize your own potential. And that can be a dangerous thing. The problem here is that yourself is being honored. Yourself is being magnified. That's why it's so good to use the cross. To know him as a crucified one. And the last point on the outline is point C, the accuser of the brethren. I think in the church we have experienced this so often, whether it be on Sunday morning when the accuser comes and wants to push us down, when he wants to tell us our offering that we have prepared is no good, that the enemy wants to convince us we cannot bring our offering because it's not precious enough for the Father. There are many experiences that we can make with this regard. There's one verse or two verses then that we can hold up before the enemy to shoot him down. Revelation 12, verse 10 to 11. We need to tell this to the Lord again and again, like in Zechariah, where the enemy comes and is accusing Joshua. But we tell him the truth into his face. Revelation 12, 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, he accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their